Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Car Wash, the podcast. I'm your host, Matt DeWolf, Editor-in-Chief of Car Wash Magazine. We've got a fun interview for you today. In the lead-up to the Car Wash Show in Las Vegas, May 8th through 10, we had a chance to chat with Shep Hyken, one of our phenomenal speakers who's going to be on hand at the show. Shep Hyken is a customer service and experience expert, and he's the Chief Amazement Officer of Shepherd Presentations. He's a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author and has been inducted into the National Speakers Association Hall of Fame for lifetime achievement in the speaking profession. His articles have been read in hundreds of publications. He's the author of Moments of Magic, The Loyal Customer, The Cult of the Customer, The Amazement Revolution, Amaze Every Customer Every Time, Be Amazing or Go Home, The Convenience Revolution, and I'll Be Back. He is also the creator of the Customer Focus, a customer service training program which helps clients develop a customer service culture and loyalty mindset. How can we make our operations better through a better customer experience? We're going to answer that question for you, but first, a word from our sponsor. Hey, we all know how important growing and retaining membership revenue is today. And with Rinsed, the car wash CRM, you've got a complete toolbox to help make it easier for you to do just that. Rinsed has e-commerce features that help 10x your online sales, and you can convert more leads into paying customers with email and text message marketing campaigns. Pair that with tools to boost customer LTV by 20%, and you've got a pretty stellar solution that integrates directly with all major car wash POS systems. Rinsed, the car wash CRM.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Excited to be going to the big show coming up in May. That's going to be great, Las Vegas. So can't wait to see everyone there.
Yeah, it's hard to beat a show in Las Vegas. That's kind of what
I'm just glad I'm not the speaker on the last day of the show in Las Vegas.
That's true. That's true. You got to be a big draw to make people excited for that last day.
You got not. I mean, I don't know. It's like you know, somebody once said the size of your funeral really depends on the weather. I think the size of the audience in Las Vegas on the last day depends on how long the convention is and what happened the night before. So yep. You've got Las Vegas, Bourbon Street in New Orleans, and Nashville is now becoming like that. You don't want to be the last speaker. But the good news is I'm speaking Tuesday morning. Yeah. You know, have a couple of sessions and looking forward to doing a great job with you guys and talking about service and experience.
Well, it could not be a more timely topic because in the last couple of years, we've had such an explosion of growth in the industry, which has been great, but it's also got people a little nervous, right? Because that means that competition is increasing. There used to be this sort of gentleman's agreement that, yeah, we won't build too close to you. But now it's kind of like, you know, Starbucks and Walgreens and CVS, where they're just kind of putting them everywhere. So some people would say, that's great. That's driving demand. Consumers are going to wash their cars more frequently. It's going to be good for everybody. It's raising all the boats. Others would say, I can't compete with that. So I want to talk a little bit first, maybe about what do you recommend to folks in terms of ways that they can make sure they can compete, especially as it's like big money coming in, right? It's like, how am I ever going to compete with a place that has 300 locations when I've got two?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, the one that has 300 locations has figured out how to scale the operation. It's a formula to them. They know what it needs to take to be successful. And they didn't become a chain of 300 by not doing a good job. Okay. So if I am an independent, I mean, we can step back and we can look at a bunch of different areas here, but here's what I want people to think about. Why would somebody choose to go to your car wash instead of somebody down the street? You have to know the answer. Is it because we're just more convenient and we're on the right side of the street and it's harder to make a turn? There could be, you know, so traffic could be it. Do we give a better car wash? Is it because we're less expensive? Do we have somebody, you know, two or three employees that just do a great job, make sure the car is clean, the way they wipe it down? It just depends what type of a car wash you are. So we want to know why us instead of them. Then ask yourself another question. By the way, it's best if you sit down with people to talk about this. Do you have a manager, assistant manager? Do you have a, you know, your partner, whatever. Second question is, why would somebody go to them instead of us? That's an important question. Now, could be for the same reasons I just mentioned. Could be that they're better than us. Could be they're more expensive, less expensive. Anyway, lots of reasons. Number three question. If my customers are going there instead of to me or my potential customers, what is it that my competition is doing that I'm not doing that's drawing them? And is there something that I can do? By the way, I wouldn't just copy it if there is something they're doing differently that is competitive. I would figure out a way to make it my own. And a quick example of that is if you've ever been to a hotel and you've gotten a free newspaper in the morning, somebody had that idea and said, hey, I got an idea. Let's give our business customers something that no other hotel is doing. Let's give them a newspaper. The guy across the street said, did you see what they're doing? They're giving newspapers away over there, right? We need to do that too. And then somebody said, yeah, well, we could do that, but all we'd be doing is copying. Why don't we, right now, if you go to that hotel and you want a newspaper, you got to go downstairs to get it on the way out. Why don't we drop it off at the door? You see what's happening is they're figuring out a way to twist it a little bit, make it better. So those are three questions you want to ask to understand how you can be more competitive. And I want you to look at the product that you deliver, which is a clean car. And I want you to look at the way in which you do it, which is the service and the customer experience. And do they align with what your customers' expectations are? You can have the best car wash in the world, but if you got people that are nasty, they're not nice, it looks like you're, you know, they're doing you a favor by taking your money to let you go through the tunnel, chances are you're going to lose that customer. On the other hand, nicest people in the world, and you got a lousy car wash, people are going to go find a place that's going to clean their car. So got to keep the balance.
You know, Shep, what I love about your example with the newspaper, right? Like, we should always steal ideas shamelessly, but I think it's like an improv lesson, right? You got a yes and.
Yeah, I like the yes and.
Yeah. So it's like, and I think where it makes real sense in the car wash industry is you're going to yes and those ideas, but you're going to make them human. Which I think is what you're talking about in that hotel example, because it's the human element of, I'm going to delight you by making this really easy for you. It's going to be in your room. That newspaper is going to be ready when you're ready for it, instead of making an inconvenience. So I love that example, because I think that human connection is really important and making it really easy for folks.
You know, one of the nice things about coin operated car washes is that they're pretty much open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, it doesn't really matter. You know, there's no doubt that any type of service you add to it, I go directly next to me is a car wash. My office building is right next door to a car wash. And it is I call it an express wash. There's at least two employees, if not three, starting early in the morning to late in the evening. I get a better wash there. I like going there. And you know what else? When I car, they don't recognize me as a person. They recognize my car. Oh, here comes that guy. You know, but I feel like I'm somewhat connected to them, which is another idea. Do your people take the time to recognize regular customers that come in once a week, twice a week to get their cars clean? Because that's when you start to build the relationship. Even if it's just a hi, how are you? Great to see you. You see kids in the car. Hey, kids, just a wave, a nod as you're, you know, like I have a little on my windshield. I've got a little sticker that has a barcode that they just scan and then I go straight through. So I never have, you know, I'm on the subscription model, which, by the way, if you want to talk about convenience, it's one thing to be convenient with location, but it's so convenient for me to just zip in. I don't even have to roll down my window. They just wand the front of my car, you know, my windshield, and boom, I'm in. They know exactly what I want. The subscription model also allows for a car wash to have ongoing recurring revenue. Who doesn't want that? You know, so lots of ways to market, sell yourself, and, you know, hopefully build a clientele that wants to keep coming back again and again.
Well, let's dive into the, you bring up the subscription model, and I think that that's really fascinating because I am wrestling with a question that I think is pretty relevant. I want to know, so this business for a long time, it was all about just retail transactions, right? You had the customer, they were going to come in, do business with you once. Hopefully you'd get them to come back a couple of times throughout the year. Then the subscription model started. It's a mind shift in terms of how you service those customers compared to the retail customer. And I want to know from your perspective, how do you think consumers' kind of brains change or the way they think changes when it comes to, okay, I'm going to buy this one thing or I'm going to be a member of a thing? Does that kind of mentality change?
Yeah, it definitely changes. And here's why. I want you to think about it. If you're going to spend money on a monthly basis or an annual basis to buy the ability of membership, whether it's, you know, we could talk about Amazon Prime as a great example.
Yeah.
One of the reasons Amazon Prime works so well for Amazon is they have the prices high enough that, you get a lot of benefit and there's definitely value there, but it's high enough that you don't want to go waste your money somewhere else when you not get the perks that you're paying for at Amazon. So if you think about it, what is it, if I'm going to pay for a monthly subscription where they hit my credit card every month and I see it and reminds me, I go to this car wash, I'm probably not going to go somewhere else to get my car washed. So you really want to do the subscription model to get, and you might have to discount a little bit, but we all know. I mean, I know it's been kind of weird weather in St. Louis, Missouri, where I live. I just had my car washed the other day. It's the only time I did it the entire month. Did I get my money's worth this month? No, but I'm definitely not going anywhere else.
Yeah,
you know, they still keep hitting my credit card and I'm happy to keep paying. And I think that's what we can do. If we can move people from one-time or occasional buyers to becoming a member, which means you're in that subscription model, everything just works so much better. It's more predictive. You can anticipate. And you can also, by the way, with data, I would take a look at when your busy times are, your slow times, when you see your regular customers on a regular basis, what are they doing? What are they purchasing? What kind of subscriptions are they buying? Are they buying the full service wash, the express wash, whatever it is? So there's lots of information you glean. And when you get it, and you have it, you can start to operate more efficiently. You understand what your hours of operation should be, so you cut down on wasted time that you might be open. I look at these guys in the morning, and from the moment they start in the morning till about 7 o'clock at night, even though they're open till a little bit later, because I'm in an urban environment. So you're either living in a condo or working here in a building. So it's not like there's a lot of homes around here. And essentially they roll up the sidewalk at about 6 or 7 o'clock at night, hardly any business. Why do they stay open an extra hour or 2 hours? Well, this is a fairly new wash. My prediction is they're going to start to scale back the hours to match when they're busy. So I know we're moving away from the subscription model to more data analytics on, and that's such a technical term but basically it's like, when are you busy and when are you not? And take a look at it. And when you have a subscription model, it just gives you a lot more information about your customers that you like to know.
Yeah, well, and I think the interesting thing with this movement to really a subscription business is that me as a consumer, right? So I join the wash for the Unlimited Club, and now I'm like, that's my wash, right?
Yeah, you're not going anywhere else.
No, you better treat me right. That experience better be solid every single time, or I'm going to feel like I was wronged in some way. And I think it hurts more if you're paying like into a membership, like you joined it, as opposed to, well, I went there and I got one wash and it was all right. And they were just okay, but whatever, I'll just go try somewhere else.
Right. Well, that's the deal. Once you've got them, that is your opportunity. Do not ever give them a reason to want to go anywhere else. We're going to spend most of the time in the sessions that I have in Vegas talking about general customer service and experience. And something that's important is to understand what an amazing experience is. I preach how to deliver an amazing experience to every customer and people, amazing. How amazing can it be? We give them a car wash. That's not what amazing is. Amazing is, here's my simple definition. You are either doing one of two things. There will be times when you can go over the top and do something special. But most of the time, you're just delivering the tiniest little bit above average. And what does that mean? It could be the friendly smile, the genuine, hello, how are you? Welcome back. Horst Schulz, the first president and co-founder of the Ritz-Carlton chain, talked about same thing I've been talking about for years, a little bit better than average all the time. And I said, how much better than average do you have to be? He said, maybe 10% better. Now think about that. And I go, well, give me an example of what does better than average look like. And I just explained it. I recognize you. Maybe I use your name. When you're in the hotel and you check in and they have your name, all of a sudden you start to see front desk personnel. The bellman say, you know, hey, welcome back, Mr. Hyken. Have a good evening, Mr. Hyken. How did you know my name? That's just a little bit above average. But those are the little things that make the difference. Now, I'm not suggesting it's just a name. But the other idea behind amazement is that there's this consistent and predictable experience that you know you're going to get. And if you like the experience, then it's amazing. So basically, all you're doing is you're meeting the basic expectations of what the customer expects. You just don't fall off of that. So consistent, predictable expectations are met. And this is what customers say. And I go there. Why do you go there? You know, they're always so friendly there. You know, yeah. It's a good car wash. Car wash, car wash. We sell a car wash. So does the guy down the street. So does a woman down the street. They sell car washes too. Yep. Why should people come to us instead of them? So if we get a customer driving in our lot, we've got to figure out a way to keep them. One of the easiest ways is to engage with them. Eye contact, friendliness, thank them, show appreciation. And of course, give them a good car wash.
Right, right. That's, yeah, bare bones. You got to get a clean car.
It's not rocket science. It really isn't. Yeah,
no. I mean, there is science. I mean, let's not,
well, I've written 8 books about how to be nice, you know.
Yeah.
it's much more than just friendly. There's more to it than that. But you've got to have a foundation of being nice. If you've got the best car wash, as I mentioned earlier, the best car wash in town, but you are nasty the way you treat your customers and you aren't friendly, they're going to go find somebody that just makes them feel a little bit better about doing business.
Yeah, you don't want to be the restaurant where that's the shtick, right? Where they berate you and then serve you food.
There are restaurants that are famous for that, and you go there to be treated like that.
Yeah,
which seems who really, wants to go there and be treated like
that? I don't get that. You know, it's like that's a different episode. But man, we could dive into that another day.
Well, you know, the airlines are. There are some airlines that are like that. It's like just you know, treat me like crap, but get me there on time, and I'll keep flying you. You know,
yeah.
You know, I've been very lucky, and I fly a particular airline, American Airlines, and I'm a high level flyer, so they treat people who, you know, the platinum level, executive platinum, concierge key, they treat those people very special. They want those high flyers, for lack of a better term, the ones that spend the money on first class or longer tickets going over to Europe, whatever. They want those people to keep coming back. We can learn a lot. By the way, that's another interesting set of questions to ask. We talked about 3 questions at the beginning, you know, why should someone do business with us? Why do they do business with them? What are they doing that we're not doing? If you look outside of the industry that you're in, the car wash industry, and you say, what is it that's like, what are my favorite companies to do business with outside of my buddies in the car wash business, right? What are they? And I'll ask you, Matt, what's your favorite company in the world to do business with?
Ooh,
they're easy.
I mean, my favorite
brand. On them always.
Yeah. It's got to be. I mean, it's got to be Apple.
Okay, right? Apple. I mean, so the A's typically win. Apple, Amazon, they typically win. And the reason is you know what you're going to get. They're friendly. They have a good product. So here's what we ask. What is it about these companies that you love? And I want you to list everything you can think of as to why you like them, why you want to do business with them if you had a choice. And then we start looking at those reasons and we say, is there anything that Apple is doing that we could be doing at our car wash? And I know it sounds like a stretch, but when you start looking at all the ways and reasons people like to do business with Apple, maybe there is something we can use. And then once you decide to implement those ideas, you go back and you ask the same question you asked at the very beginning. Now that I'm, you know, implementing these ideas from outside of the industry, which makes you world class, not just best in industry, and you start looking at what your competitors are doing, and you start bringing some of those ideas if they're doing something different. Now you're really separating yourself from your competition by creating a better service experience. And you ask yourself, now that I've done this, Now, why would somebody want to do business with us instead of them? And the key is, if you're going to do something right, keep doing it right. Consistency and predictability. You want to be, you know, I jokingly say, you want to be boring in business. What do you mean? You want the customer to know what they're going to get every time. No surprises. No surprises bad, and even no surprises good. Once they're into your world, and they know, I love doing business with them because they are always, and you can fill in the blank, they're always friendly, they're always helpful, they always, you know, whatever it is. The word always followed by something good is what you want your customers to be saying about you.
So as you were talking about companies that, you know, we love to do business with, one of the things that popped up in my brain was Bombas, you know, the sock company, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I... one of the things, like, they always treat you right, like you're saying, right? Because, like, they don't, when you think about, why am I talking about socks and car washing? It doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. Because Bombas treats their customers with such respect and such care. You know, like, I got a whole a pair of socks that I had for probably 3 or 4 years. And they've got this guarantee. And it's like, oh, just, you know, let us know and we'll get you hooked up with a replacement pair of socks. And I was like, okay, like, that seems kind of weird. I've had these a long time. I've worn them. They're probably not going to give me new socks. But I just reached out and I was like, hey, I know you have this guarantee. Does this apply? And they said, you know what? Great. We don't make those kinds of socks anymore. So that tells you how old they were. But you can have a gift card for our website. We'll get you taken care of. You can get a new pair of socks. So for me, I'm like, oh, well, great.
And why would you go anywhere else to buy socks?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never do it. I never will. But so then you take it in the car washing. It's like, oh, well, I should probably have a clean car guarantee, right? I'm going to rewash within a certain period of time, or, you know, be very, very, very respectful of your customers, and then be also very respectful of people when they want to cancel, right? Because I think if you make it really hard for them to cancel, that's going to be a problem because they will never come back.
Right, right. So you always want to leave the door open. And whenever a customer leaves, keep that in mind. If they're angry, if you're angry, it doesn't matter. The goal is you're never trying to win an argument. You're trying to win the customer. Right. If the customer is leaving for any reason, give them the open door to come back. You know, it's your point with Bombas is very good. If somebody drives... I know that the particular car wash that I go to is an express wash because it's not big enough. I think it's the only express wash this chain has in their system. And they're a local chain. And when I go to the others and they wipe it down and the guys are out there, they say, take a look. Do you see anything that we missed?
Yeah.
That's a great question. You know, and if I have said to them, you know what, I paid for the wheels to get, you know, all that carbon or whatever it is, brake dust off of the wheels. Can you hit it one more time? Maybe just, you know, make them look real nice. Oh, yeah. And I've never asked them to run it back through again. But that's, you know, that's the way we do it. And not once does somebody say, oh, no, I won't do it. Oh, no. No, they just take care of it. That's what's expected.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
By the way, another thing, the rain guarantee. If it rains within 24 hours, bring your car back. Yeah. Little things like that make customers feel it. That's like the rain guarantee is like the return policy at a department store.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point. I just watched a video a couple of days ago that you had put out about, and I think this is fascinating, the difference between customer service and customer experience. Okay, so walk us through the difference between that, because I think that it's really easy to use those interchangeably.
Sure. I should have probably watched the video before we started today. I crank out a ton of content, 2 to 3 articles a week, every single week, a video every week, at least one, if not more. Anyway, so here's the thing. Customer service was simply the way you treated a customer. It's not a department. It's anytime you're engaging with the customer. So there is a customer service or support department with a lot of companies, but we're talking about general customer service in a retail environment, which our car washes are. So that's service. Years ago, that's what they called it. Then somebody decided, hey, let's call it something sexier. Let's call it customer experience. Ooh. And guess what? It just sounded better. And so then somebody said, yeah, but experience isn't just service. Experience is everything. And yeah. that became kind of the de facto term that customer experience is the entire experience you have, even if you're not interacting with people. Now, customer service is part of customer experience now, and it's a big part of it, because typically if there's a human-to-human interaction, that's going to trump a lot of other digital interactions you might have. Or if it's a coin-operated, you know, big deal, put a coin in, it works great. But if there's somebody who's actually engaging with you, you have the chance to take that to the next level. So experience is all of it. Every touch point they have, customer service is part of that. Now, I want to kind of break away from that and just throw this other idea out. What is the typical experience that your customer has? And what I mean by that is, what do they experience? What journey do they take from the moment they decide, I want to get a car wash? So they've got to drive down the street. They got to get into your lot. How long is it easy for them to get into? Is there a long line? How quick do people get through? I know that some car washes, I'm going to go through, I'll be out in 4 or 5 minutes. Others, I know it's just going to be a 10 or 15 minute, maybe longer ordeal. There's more people in front of me. It's slower to go through. They take more time on the back end. By the way, that's not a criticism. That may be exactly what I want, because I have the time and I want to get a great wash. Others, you know, it just depends what they want. Anyway, what is the journey from the moment they think about it till they drive off your lot? Every single touch point needs to be analyzed, every interaction point, and recognize what's behind the scenes that is driving that interaction. And when we start to look at all of these, we start to understand where there's opportunities to create a better experience. Eliminate waiting time, eliminate waste of any kind. So lots of opportunities come from analyzing the journey, which is all of customer experience.
It's funny how much you can learn if you just pay attention.
Yeah.
If you just watch, what's going on, and just, you know, it'll happen a few times. You're like, oh, well, we probably just need to move our menus up a little bit. Or, oh, it'd be better if we greeted them 7 feet further out.
Yep.
So lots of little things, if you just pay attention, you can pick up on. One of your 8 books, is it 8 total or just 8 about kindness?
No, it's not about, I mean, the first book was titled Moments of Magic, and the last book was titled I'll Be Back, How to Get Your Customers to Come Back Again and Again. I jokingly say they're all about, you know, but it's, you know, friendliness. What happened is, one day I was asked to do a speech. Had 40 minutes to do it. They said I had to be off stage exactly on time. I could not go 1 minute over, because everybody had to get in a bus and go somewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
So I said, well, if I go on early, can I have some extra time? Sure. But if you go on late, you got to be short. No problem. Except I was the last speaker. The three speakers in front of me kept going later and later. At the end, I had 2 minutes left. 2 minutes. That was it. So the guy says, I'm really sorry, we're not going to be able to put you on. I go, oh no, I've got something to say. And I walked out there and I said, I'm going to give you the shortest customer service speech in the world. Are you ready? Here it is. Be nice. Then I started to walk off stage, and then I stopped, went back to the middle of the stage with the microphone. I said, you know, I have about 1 minute and 20 seconds left. So let me just tell you that be nice. It sounds so simple. It's foundational. How many times have you gone to do business with somebody, and especially in the retail environment, such as what we're in, and the person wasn't friendly or wasn't nice? How hard is that to be? Yeah. It's common sense that's not so common. Now, and I said in the speech, I have written 8 books about more or less how to be nice, because that's the foundation. You can do everything else right, but if you don't have the right attitude, people are going to walk. In the 1980s, I was exposed to the first research that I found on customer service, put out by the Technical Assistant Research Program, commissioned by the White House Office of Consumer Affairs. And they said the number one reason customers will leave you and go to a competitor is, about 70 to 72% of the time, it's rudeness or apathy, or somebody doesn't care about the customer, but it's that indifference that's shown. It's people to people. Now, we do surveys every single year, survey thousands of consumers around the U.S., weighted to the census from, you know, millennials to boomers, the gender, ethnicity. And basically, that number is pretty accurate. Do you know the number one reason people come back is because the service is friendly? The number one reason people don't come back is because the service wasn't friendly. Still that way. And here we are, from the 1980s to the 2020s, like almost 40 years later. Unbelievable.
That's pretty. Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, if I'd have known that story, this podcast might have been about 60 seconds. We just said, "Hey, everybody, be nice.
Just be nice, okay?" Into the show. No, there's a lot that goes into being nice. There really is, because there's a lot that goes around it. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, you can be as nice as you want to be, but if the rest of the experience, including how clean your car comes out at the end of that car wash, you've got to do what you've got to do to make it work. So again, best service in the world with a lousy product, people are going to go somewhere else. Best product in the world with a lousy service, they're going to go somewhere else. Find the way to balance it out and give them both. There's no reason they shouldn't have it.
Yeah. Shep, the book I was looking at, and some Amaze Every Customer Every Time, right?
Yes.
So you talk about 52.
Yes.
52 amazement tools.
Yes.
Which, by the way, like that's just a fun phrase, amazement tools. I want all the amazement tools all the time. But maybe could you give us like one or two of those tools that would, you know, really be kind of easy wins for us?
Sure. And by the way, let me tell you about that book, just a little background.
Yeah.
I wanted to write a book about a company. Not so much about them as much as them as a role model. And everybody had already written about Amazon and written about Zappos and written about all these other great iconic companies, right? So what company does everybody know, known for great service, that never gets written about? And it was, and by the way, Business Week came out with a list of the top 25 customer service brands in the world. And this company came in at number 10 above the Ritz-Carlton. And that company was Ace Hardware.
Fascinating.
Ace Hardware. Nobody had ever written a book about Ace Hardware. Well, they're one of my clients. So we sat down and I said, I don't want to write a book about you, but I want to learn. I want to talk to all these dealers out there. I want to talk to executives. I want to find out what is it that you're doing that wins you award after award, year after year, that allows a little tiny hardware store to compete with big box stores. And basically, they said, if you would do this, we'll support you. We'll give you access to all of our executives. And it's a David Goliath story. And earlier in our conversation, you talked about the small independent that might have one or two car washes up against the chain of 300. How do you compete with that? Well, basically, you do it through delivering service. So you asked for a couple of ideas. I'll share with you some of the ideas. Managing the moment of truth. It's the idea of every interaction is an opportunity for your customer to form an impression. They go one of three ways. They're either moments of mediocrity, which are those average satisfactory moments. And we've got to be better than that. Remember I said, just be a little bit better than average. Anything less than average is a moment of misery. Okay. Maybe it's the way you treat somebody. Maybe it's the lousy service. Maybe it's the bad car wash, but it's not a good experience. And then there's the moment of magic. That's anything better than just okay. Anything better than average. And it could be over the top, or typically it's just, you know what? They did what they were supposed to do and they always do it. They're always friendly. They're always nice. And we talked about that earlier, always followed by something positive. So big one, manage the moment of truth. Another one, so it's divided up into different areas. There's five different areas and one of them is leadership. And one of the things I want as an owner or a manager, I want them to understand is the way they treat their employees is exactly the way the employees are going to treat the customer. So you have an opportunity to be the role model, emulate exactly what the behavior is supposed to be. Let's take a lesson from Disney, not so much from Ace Hardware, but I think I put something like this in the speech. Everybody has three jobs. They don't, I'm working the car wash. What do? I wipe down the car when it comes out and I clean it, make sure it's dry. Okay. That's the job you were hired to do. But you know what else? You have two other jobs. Well, what would those be? Take care of the customer, be friendly, engaging, make sure they're happy, right? What's the third one? Keep the place clean. If you see a piece of paper, pick it up, throw it away. If everybody understands that they have three jobs, I think that is a powerful, powerful place to be. And again, so two things there. Treat your employees the way you want your customers treated. Tell them they've got three jobs. And let's see, is there another one I can share with you? I think that there's so many I could share that are just appropriate, but something that's really easy for everybody to grasp onto is, and we talk about this in the book too, everybody should understand the value of the typical customer. And this is why. Maybe some customers come in once a month or less. Some come in every single week, twice a week. And you would say, was that twice a week customer more valuable than the once a month customer? Well, not if they're in a subscription model, they're probably paying the same thing, right? But what about, you know, some customers might just pay, you know, $10, $12, $15 for a car wash once every 3 months, and that's what they do. But when we understand what the actual value of a customer is, we say, what's the average value and what's the lifetime value? And then we tell our employees, you realize when we're taking care of this customer is worth, you know, $250 to us over the next year, okay, on average. And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But if you treat everybody like they're worth $250, you're probably going to say, okay. And the example that I use in the book is at Ace Hardware. I can't remember what the product is. I think they were mason jars I talked about in the book. But basically, a person came back and they said, I want to return the mason jar. And it's like, really? And realize it. This person, on average, might be buying, you know, $2,000 a year worth of merchandise from Ace Hardware. Why would you want to upset them over a 75-cent jar? Just give them another jar, right? So, and that's why, you know, that Matt, you and I talked about earlier in our conversation. It's like, if, you know, the car, guarantee it, it rained yesterday, bring the car back. Oh, how are you, did we miss a spot? You want us to run it through again? It's like an easy return policy. Recognize the value of the customer. Make sure your employees know the value of that customer, and they'll make better decisions when they understand what those customers are actually worth.
Tons of great stuff. Tons of great stuff. Now, but the problem here, Shep, is that now I got to buy another book. I've got too many books. I'm not through all the ones I have already, but that's okay. The last question I always like to ask people, because you learn all kinds of fascinating things, is, what's one thing that we can do today to be better tomorrow? And this doesn't have to be like car washing related. This could be like practical life advice. And I like to ramble in this space because I never tell anybody that this question is coming and then they have to think about it. So,
well, there's not much to think about. You've already mentioned what we should be doing. That is, we should be reading more. We should be taking a look at our business every day and reading and looking for ways to make it better. And when you start reading the books you're reading, it's amazing to me the statistics that say how many people do not read once they get out of, and I mean, we're talking about, they don't read really anything, not even a magazine or a newspaper. But it's amazing when you start to open your eyes and ears up to what others are doing and writing about. My favorite book, by the way, is called The Experience Economy by Joe Pine and Jim Gilmore. And it's about how you take a coffee bean and turn it into a Starbucks $5 cup of coffee. Coffee bean worth pennies. And it's all about the experience. How is it that that car wash gets so much more for every car wash versus the one down the street? Have you ever gone to that car wash? Why don't you try it and you'll find out why, you know? Why did Starbucks charge more, or some of the other, you know, boutique coffee places charge a little bit more for a cup of coffee? Step in there and find out. And I'll guarantee you'll see the difference.
It becomes pretty obvious. Well, Shep, I appreciate you spending all this time with me. I know that I had said this was going to be a short conversation, but I am a habitual liar when it comes to those things.
I'm glad that meant that was working.
That's funny. That's funny. Awesome. Well, Shep, thanks, man. We'll look forward to having you at the show.
My pleasure. Can't wait to be there. Thank you so much for asking some great questions. Really appreciate you having me on the show.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.